So right about now, unfortunately, you have a lot of people who have either abandoned their goals for 2020, or worse yet, they still have the goal, but they've abandoned the work and the game plan to get them there. Today, we're going to talk about a really simple framework for not only getting you back on track, but to also provide you with better results. My name is Paul Castain from Castain Training Systems, and I'm the author of the YourSalesPlaybook.com blog and your host for the Sales Playbook podcast. I've personally trained over 25,000 sales reps, sales leaders, and business owners to sell more. So get your playbooks ready because school is now in session. Okay, so today we're going to be talking about a few things, really. How to get your year back on track, because as of the recording of this podcast, it is February 16th. We know that there have been numerous studies that have been done that tell us that the average person by the third week in January has already abandoned their goals. And one of the things that I was mentioning before is that there's kind of two categories here, and you might be in one of them. It could be the one where you've just flat out abandoned the goal. But the other one, I think a lot of us fall into the second category where, well, we still have that goal where it's almost wishful thinking, but we've abandoned all those things that we needed to do to get there. So in the back of our mind, yeah, I hope I lose the weight, or yes, yeah, this year I'm going to sell more and make President's Club, but we stopped with the action plan. So today we're going to really talk about how to get back on track. Before we do, I want to ask a big favor, and you're going to hear me talking about this a lot. One of the things that I have to get better at, because I'm always looking in the mirror too, folks, and one of the things that I've really been failing at here on the podcast is asking you guys for your help with something that will cost you nothing to do, but will make a world of difference for the podcast. If you've been enjoying the podcast, could you please go by Apple Podcasts? Not only leave a 5-star review, but if you could take the time to actually write a review. As I've mentioned before, it's not a popularity thing for me, or I'm feeling kind of needy. Certainly, I love the feedback from you guys, but where it's really going to help is that when we get favorable reviews, it helps the podcast rank higher on Apple Podcasts. But now what that's going to do is it's going to make it easier for people like you to find the podcast. So there they are. They're looking for some good information. They're tired of some of these other podcasts out there where people are doing all this cutesy shit and they're bantering back and forth and they're kind of just goofing around and not giving, or maybe getting too philosophical and not giving you anything. So what this is going to help with is that when somebody's not looking for that nonsense, they want something that where there's good actionable advice, they're going to find this podcast. So if you found it helpful, please pay it forward and help other people to be able to have the same experience. So enough of that. Today, I want to get right down to business. That was a long time for me to be kind of away from the topic, but I want to provide a really simple framework for you. And what I've done is many times when I do my podcast, I write out a quick outline and some things I want to cover. Today, I just did the outline. So if it seems at times, well, oh boy, Castain doesn't really seem prepared today. I really wanted it to be more conversational, as if we were sitting down and then all of a sudden, hey, I'm thinking of another idea for you, whatever. I promise you it's not going to be all over the place and tangents and all that, but I just thought I'd go about it a little bit differently. So there's something that I've been teaching, and it's a methodology that I use in all my training programs. But if you have ever been one of my coaching clients, you will recognize it. And I call it the Accelerated Performance Framework. This works perfectly, whether you're struggling right now, or you're doing okay, but you'd like to do better, or you're kicking ass and you just want to kick ass at a higher level. The Accelerated Performance Framework. And it consists of three things. We're going to dive into each one of these. It consists of mindset. It consists of information. and it consists of action. It's just three simple things. And these three simple things are going to serve almost as your tour guide to get you to a better place with the results this year. So let's dive in. The very first thing is your mindset. If you've been listening to me for even a month or two, you know I'm not a rah-rah type of guy. You know I'm not a turn that frown upside down. It's all about being positive. I mean, certainly we have to be positive in sales. But when I talk about mindset, please don't give me the glazed over eye look that and the eye roll that usually goes with that kind of motivational speech type. Castain is going to start talking rapidly and all energetic, man. He's going to get us pumped up and fired up. No, that's like I'm exhausted just doing that shit. Back just to let you know. And I'm on a limited amount of caffeine today because, and I do have to say this, it's Sunday and I love my coffee, man. Pronounced coffee out here in New York, by the way. And I've been going old school with the coffee, man, on Sundays. And I've been brewing it up in a percolator, man, which that shit tastes so good. It tastes so much better than the Keurig. And the problem is now, my kids have discovered it, and that's my fault, man. I was like, hey, try this. And they like it now, too. And all I have is this, like, small percolator, and never enough for everybody. I don't want to be that idiot dad that years later I'm gone here, and, you know, I'm dead, and now they're referring back. But he was a prick when it came to his coffee. It's like such a generous, giving guy. Always gave fatherly advice, but you know, he didn't want to part with his coffee. It's like, Jesus, Dad, couldn't you have been a better dad than sitting in some therapy session talking about what a shit father I was? So this is why, you know, I'm kind of conking out here. But anyway, it starts with mindset. And when I talk about mindset, it's a lot of different things. A lot of it, and as we go along, I really want you to challenge yourself in these areas. And in order to challenge yourself, you have to ask your ego to leave the room and kind of ask yourself some questions. Well, am I really like this? Is this something that I'm doing well? Or do I want to believe I'm doing well? You guys get the deal. So the first part of it would be your attitudes and beliefs toward certain things, especially things that you know that you're supposed to be doing to get the results that you want to have. So let's just say you went into the year and you said, okay, well, one of the things, and you set these goals when you had all that New Year's piss and vinegar, you're coming off the holidays, you're feeling all festive and, you know, joy to the world is playing on the radio, or maybe grandmother got run over by a reindeer if you're morbid. Type of person, you're feeling good and you're setting these goals. Yes, and I'm going to have to make more cold calls, and I'm going to have to do more outreach, and I'm going to have to do that thing that Castain always says to do, and then you don't do it. And so you really have to look at your attitude towards certain things. Now, some of the things you might, it could be your attitude get in the way of doing them. Let me give you a prime example, and you've probably heard me talk about this. A lot of people in sales, when we're talking about different forms of outreach, they'll say things to me like, well, I prefer the phone, or I prefer face-to-face. You can't beat face-to-face, Paul. Or I prefer to do this, or I prefer a warm intro or a referral. And you guys know how I feel about that. Nobody cares what you prefer. It's what they prefer. And your attitude toward preference might be getting in the way of your result. And that is a difficult conversation or thought process for us to have in sales, because we are egotistical. We really are. And you have to accept that. And when you accept that, it doesn't mean you have to tolerate it. It means you have to know when to say, hey, ego, out. Get the F out, man. Don't let the door hit you with the good Lord split you. Get out. And you have to have that honest conversation with yourself. Am I not doing this because of my stuff? Or maybe way back when, not trying to play Dr. Phil here, but it kind of has to be said, you might have some kind of an opinion about cold calling or LinkedIn because of some stupid effing thing that happened way back when. You might have an issue with rejection because of something that happened way back when. Hey, you're listening to somebody right now who let a really bad experience with his first business keep him from starting another business for, I'm thinking, what, 25 years, I guess it was? Yeah, it was 25, 26 years. For years, I went around scared, saying I'll never start another business, because my first business ended in disaster in 1995. And I lost everything. I had both of my cars repossessed. I was $60,000 in debt. I had to take on a night job just to keep food on the table. I had to start over. The year before I lost it all, my income was over $100,000 a year back in 1994, 1995. And then I went down to $8.50 an hour running a press at nighttime to put food on the table. So, you know what I mean? I had a very bad experience with it. And when we have a bad experience with something, our association to that thing is usually not pleasant. And fight or flight kicks in. We're like, I am not going to touch that again with a 10-foot pole. And it wasn't until probably around 2010 that I started putting thinking time into my daily schedule. And I couldn't do it every single day, but I tried to every single day, no matter where I was, whether it be on a plane or it be in a hotel room when I was traveling, or ideally in my backyard with a nice cigar sitting my fat ass in a chair yelling at the kids for playing on the damn lawn. But seriously, I mean, every single day I would sit out there and kind of think about, well, what are the things that scare me, that maybe shouldn't, that maybe it was a lot of different things that caused it, but doesn't mean that it would be true today. And I started thinking that through, and that's what kind of began the thought process of starting my own business. But this is the same thing with a lot of things. It could be trying something. I'll give you another one. Let me just give you another one. This week I was writing about text messaging in your prospecting cadence. I'm going to tell you flat out, and maybe this is, the fact that I'm 54 years old playing into this. I really don't like text messages. I don't. I'm telling you flat out, I really don't like them. I like to reserve them for my family because we have two medical situations going on. One is with somebody who's 83 years old. The other one is with stage 4 cancer. And I really kind of like to keep the airways open for that. Plus, I find it rather intrusive when I get these pop-ups, and I have to have pops up with my text messages because of the family situations and things going on with friends. I want to get those messages. So, but the thing of it is that just because I think that way and I have that belief doesn't mean that everybody feels that way. And many times we allow our thinking to go to a place based, again, on what we prefer. So, it's something that I'm willing to entertain the idea of a text message in a prospecting cadence, but through just stepping back and saying, you know what? There is 100% open rate. I know that there is, in fact, these things are red. I think 95% of them are red within 5 minutes of being sent, which you can't say for emails, which the open rate right now is hovering about 22%. So you have pretty much 100% or 95% open rate, whatever the heck it is, inside of a few minutes. You can't beat that. But so when I was like going through this thought process, I was thinking, okay, again, I got to practice what I preach here. It's not all about what we prefer. This might be keeping me from reaching more people, helping more people, and if I could be a bit selfish, making a little more money. That's not bad, right? So I said to myself, well, maybe the compromise for me is not leading with a text message, going through some other forms of outreach, and then perhaps marrying in a text message or even asking for their permission to send them a text message. I talk on the phone and I say something along the lines of, is it okay if I follow up with a quick text message? I didn't want to just assume that was okay. And maybe get the green light that way. But my point is not to go on about text messages. It's about attitudes and how we feel about certain things. But there's more to this mindset thing. It could be that we're guilty of procrastination. And I know a lot of us are. And that is a mindset thing where you have it on your action plan that this year I'm going to do these activities. And then what happens is that we have other activities that become avoidance activities, because picking up a phone and cold calling or maybe knocking on a door or whatever it is unpleasant for you. So your brain is saying, how can I keep Jane away from that? How can I keep Castaigne away from this complete discomfort he has with, knocking on a door or, cold calling or whatever? And the brain finds things for you to do. You're hanging out in the plant. You're spending some more time on administrative things, more times with your customers because, they come first. I had to do this. And you find yourself making excuses. And that's another part of mindset. Do you find yourself embracing a lot of excuses? Here's another thing with mindset. Again, I'm not going to go through the entire version of this three-step accelerated performance framework, but I do want to make sure that you own a few things about it. There's another part of it too, and this one is so prevalent in the sales ranks. It's really hit such catastrophic proportions. You have a lot of people, because of that ego in sales, that think they know far more than they do. And even if they do, in fact, know everything they tell you that they know, like when they come across some information, they say, it's sales 101 though, or everybody knows that. Well, then you kind of have to do that little reality check that I talk about here. Do I know it and I'm actually doing it? Or do I need to shut my mouth and get to work? Seriously, it has to be that brutal. Because it's almost like we've got to give ourselves that slap in that movie where Cher slapped Nicolas Cage in Moonstruck and, snap out of it. It's got to be almost a pattern interrupt. Like, hey, jackass, yeah, of course you know it. Everybody knows it. Yeah, let's all say duh together. Doesn't mean you're doing it, right? I'll never forget, and it's funny because I'm really big into pattern interrupts. Things that kind of interrupt a pattern that's not serving us. So when I find myself saying, yeah, I know that. I mean, I can't tell you how many times as a sales trainer and a sales professional who's been selling for almost 37 years. Now I feel really old. 37 years this summer that I've been selling. I come across shit all the time where I'm saying, are you kidding me? We're still talking about this shit? But then I think about that little reality check thing that I said, do I know it and I'm doing it, or do I need to shut up? I think about this line in a movie, and I don't know if you guys remember. Well, first of all, you had a few years ago all the Ocean's 11, Ocean 12, Ocean 13, which got progressively shittier, if I might be a little honest here. I didn't really care. That last one was effing terrible, man. I was like, I think I fell asleep. It was probably 3 in the afternoon. But anyway, but it was a remake of one that was done around 1960 with Frank Sinatra and Dean Martin, Sammy Davis Jr. But Cesar Romero was in that movie. And I'll never forget, somebody was talking shit to him. And he calls their bluff and says something. The guy has nothing to say. So Cesar Romero looks at him, he goes, yeah, that's right. When you can't put up, what are you supposed to do? Shut up, right? So he didn't say that, shut up. But I'm just helping you guys out in case you didn't know the freaking saying. So that's my pattern now, pattern interrupt now. When I find myself procrastinating, I do that. Hey, well, when I'm saying, well, I know that. Saying I know that is nice and safe. But taking it a step further and say, well, do I know it and I'm doing it? Or do I need to, if you can't put up, Castaigne, what are you supposed to do? Shut up. Get back to school, man. Do this shit. So that's the first part of it, the mindset. And there's a lot more, man. We could get into how you're handling rejection and how you're managing your own emotions. Even when you have really good things going on, do you let that get to you to the point that you think that excuses you now from the work that you have to do to get more good things happening? Because some people do that. They celebrate too much. Other people, they beat themselves up too much, the opposite of that. So the first step is your mindset. The second one is information. And it's really focusing on the right information, because there's no shortage of stuff out there. I mean, seriously, I notice LinkedIn now is really, really, people really going over the top with kind of this talking head thing where everybody's got advice on everything. And it's almost too much, but the right information. And when I say the right information, I don't mean the coolest kid. And a lot of people do determine the right information by that. I'm not talking about with the person with 500 comments here. I'm talking about the information that actually propels you forward toward those goals. The areas that you're looking to improve upon. So kind of focusing on the right information. It's also setting time aside to learn. And this one gets me. It really does. And maybe because I'm fat. Seriously. It's like maybe because I'm really out of shape. And it's I see all these people who just love to talk about how they got to the gym and what time they got to the gym, taking the freaking selfie at the gym, which is kind of, I don't know, I just think it kind of makes you look like a tool. But I'll lose the weight, and then there's Uncle Paul going to be there flexing, showing you his really cool tattoo. And but everybody makes time for that. But learning, well, I'm busy. You know, as much as you're working out those muscles, you've got to work out the brain. You seriously do. And, you know, so I think in a way it almost goes back to the mindset of I don't have the time versus I'm going to make the time. And, you know, even if you're really committed to it and to getting smarter and being a humble student, how about the if you do a lot of windshield time in the car, could you listen to some stuff in the car while you're going? How about like on a flight or something like that? And for me, what I do in addition to those things is that I carve aside time early in the mornings on the weekend. My kids are sleeping at that hour. My wife works in a hospital. A lot of the time she's working, say, an early shift. So I'm not taking any time away from being a dad or even taking time away from my personal recharge time or getting things done or whatever. This, I am labeling this important enough that there is time on my calendar at 5 a.m. on a Saturday or 6 a.m. on a Sunday, whatever it is. But maybe you can find your version of that. That's something that you can do. So I want you to think about that a little bit. And also, right about now, a really deadly trap kicks in. Because we said the first thing in this accelerated performance framework is the mindset. We said the second thing is information. And right about now, something really deadly happens. And in the training industry, right, and in sales enablement, a lot of the time we refer to this as the knowledge trap right about now. Because, and I just realized I said right about now like three times. That was kind of stupid. But anywho, what happens here is that people fool themselves. They say, well, my attitude is good. I'm positive. And usually when they're referring to their attitude, it is along those lines. Well, I always, you know, I'm always positive and I'm always chipper and not necessarily tackling those other areas of mindset that we talked about. But they go through the checklist and they think they're fine there. And let's assume that they are. Then the information, well, you know, I'm focusing on all the right stuff. I listen to Castain's podcast, a lot of other sales thought leaders. I'm embracing their content. I'm reading this, I'm reading that or whatever. And they think that's enough. The problem is that it's lacking the third step here in the accelerated performance framework, and it's action. And the way that I always like to beat up this point with people when I'm talking about the knowledge trap, let's just say that since I was just a little boy, way back when I had hair. And since I was just a little child, a wee little lad, I wanted to be a pilot. And I had a great attitude toward it. Man, I was saying to myself, you're going to be a pilot. You're going to be the best pilot who ever was. You're going to be a caring pilot. You're going to be that humble student of a pilot, always learning things. That was step number one. I had the right attitude. I was willing to do what I needed to do to become this great pilot. Then what I did was I read every damn book under the sun on how to become a pilot. Piloting 101, the pilotorial arts in you. I read all this stuff. I read Sully's story. I read every damn thing I could. I watched YouTube videos. I subscribed to podcasts where the pilots are talking about all kinds of shit from the cockpit instead of flying the damn plane. Let me ask you guys a question. Based on what I told you, would you get in a plane with me if I said, hey, man, I'm going to drive. We're going to jump in the Castain Training Systems private jet as soon as I get one. As soon as you guys buy more training and shit from me. Would you get in a plane with me? If you did, you're suicidal. You're a jackass if you did. Why? Because I don't know. No flight time, no training. And that's the same thing here. A lot of people fall into the trap of good attitude, good mindset, lots of information, but not enough action. See, the problem is most people are really good at writing stuff down, setting goals and action plans and charts. But really what it comes down to is that a lot of people are guilty of consuming and not acting. The thing that we need is action. And quite frankly, I'm not sitting here judging you. I'm just telling you from experience, not just in being the all-knowing Paul Castain, but a guy who could probably out-dumb every one of you when it comes to dumb mistakes. Seriously, I've made some epically dumb mistakes in my career, not just in the beginning, all along, man. This is a constant learning experience for me. And, you know, there's lots of things where it just kind of, I learned things, I knew them, but I was just consuming them and they stayed in my head and I wasn't taking action. So, you know, things can't remain in your notebook. They can't be just committed to memory. Again, most of us are guilty of consuming without taking the action. So my question to you is this, and I don't say it so I can gloat, I'm right, you're wrong. No, it's just to raise your awareness. Again, maybe you need to ask your ego to leave the room or the car for a minute and answer this question honestly, not out loud. People hear you doing that shit, man. You're gonna be in a 12-step program, company sponsored. You know, do you listen to this podcast and take action, or are you just consuming? Do you generally just look at these podcasts for entertainment value? Do you generally read blog posts and articles and things like that, or perhaps watch a video over on LinkedIn or even YouTube? And just consume it? Or do you flag an action item and get after it? So that's something to think about. But now I want to leave you with something else, again, that you can embrace. And it's kind of a framework in a way. It's definitely a mindset, but it's a way for you to take action. And I've talked about this quite a bit. It's called the aggregation of marginal gains. And again, I think in training, and especially I love the sales enablement people, but they love to complicate the shit out of things. They really do. They think they're simplifying it. In fact, I've even seen people, which is hilarious, over on LinkedIn, you know, selling isn't difficult, you know, it's actually easy, whatever, and they put up an effing complicated chart. I mean, I'm in the industry, and I find that complicated. And when I see shit like that, my brain is like, oh no, Paul. We're gonna think about something stupid instead, because this is too much work for your feeble brain. And we just get away from that. But a lot of the time we have these fancy schmancy terms for something that's actually quite simple. And this concept of the aggregation of marginal gains was introduced by somebody by the name of Dave Brailsford, and who's now Sir Dave Brailsford. And it really means finding 1% improvements. That's just a nice, easy way of remembering it. And I think a lot of you, and I've been guilty of it too, we avoid things that just seem like just this monumental task. For example, it could be if we look at all the weight that I need to lose. If I look at it that way, it's like, well, why bother? Or I'll put it off or whatever, right? But when I look at it by just looking at little 1% opportunities to do all the things that I need to do to lose that weight, Well, it's a lot easier. Plus, when you take 1% improvements and you add them all up over time, especially over the next year, right? As we, when we come to the end of 2020, which I promise you, we're going to blink and it's going to be coming up on year end again, because it just happens that way every year. And I find the older I get, the quicker that time goes. So what happens is, if you multiply all those little 1% improvements out over the course of a year, over the course of a few years, over the course of your entire working career, you have monumental change that can happen, and it can really improve your results. So my suggestion would be attacking the 1% improvements from two perspectives. We're going to talk about 1% improvements and one a day. So in terms of 1%, I want you to just think, as you go along, you could do this. Think about if you have an appointment coming up. Okay, well, do you do pre-call planning? I'm hoping that you do. What would be, and just ask yourself a question, as you sit down to do your pre-call planning, what would a 1% improvement look like here? Or better yet, what is one thing that, in fact, you know what, throw that question out. Screw that. Do this one instead. What could I do that can give me a 1% improvement? So when you look at little things like that, you're not looking for the big answer here, folks. You're not looking, what's the thing that I can do that everybody's going to say, you should write the book on pre-call planning and talk that way, like Paul's talking right now. I don't know why I slipped into that. I was temporarily possessed by some spirit of a smartass from the 7th century, I believe. But he's left now. And maybe during a meeting, what is something that I can do to get 1% better at my needs analysis or listening, my demo? When you're prospecting, what's a 1% way that I can improve my pitch? Or maybe, you know, coming up with a pitch that's more objection resistant. How about 1% improvement in how I am responding to objections? Maybe somewhere in the sales cycle, what can I do to realize a 1% improvement in my negotiation skills, my time management skills? Again, you can do this as you go along. The other thing you can do is carve aside thinking time, like we were talking about before, and think about things and maybe pick an area. What is an area that you really feel that you have to get better at this year to have the year that you want to have? Again, have that open, honest conversation with yourself. Ask your ego to leave and flag that area and say, okay, well, you know, I got to get better at managing my time. Again, here I go with the time management thing again. All right, so what are some things that I can do immediately to get a 1% improvement? The other part of this that I mentioned before, we said 1% improvements and one a day. The one a day thing is something I talk about a lot, and I ripped this off and modified it from the authors of Chicken Soup for the Soul. As many of you have heard me talk about, they were actually rejected, I believe it was 148 times. It was certainly damn near 150 times that they were rejected. Finally, they get the book published. And I love, and this kind of goes into the mindset part of the framework. They had an incredible mindset. A typical mindset after you got your ass kicked 150 times on something that's rather personal, something that you write, that you've personally worked on. When people reject it, it's like, you suck, right? It's like they're saying, you suck, you're lame. And instead of sitting there saying, well, I guess this is as good as it gets, we got published, they said, okay, great, we're in the game now. How do we get a bestseller? By the way, that's part of mindset right there. When you ask yourself different questions, instead of why does this happen to me? Or how bad does this suck? Or how shitty does this make me feel? Now they said, okay, how do we get to the next level? So that's an empowering question right there. So they came up with this concept that every single day they would do 5 things that would move them toward the goal of getting a bestseller. And some days they would flag an item like, you know what, if we write an article for, I think, the Inquirer, that'll help get us some exposure. Another day, maybe they said, you know what, if we do these lectures, free lectures at the universities, we can get some exposure. And they came up with all these different ideas. So when I started moving this into my coaching program and my sales training and everything, we went at it the same way. We said, okay, every day, and I used to say to people like that old, I think, T-Mobile commercial, what's in your five, right? And I found, myself included, that five was a bit aggressive. It was really kind of hard for us to do five things to move us toward a goal when we're doing other things that really impact the paycheck and also keep our boss happy. So I said, you know what? Let's just get this down to the bare minimum for now. Instead of five and then feeling overwhelmed and then feeling shitty because you couldn't keep up the pace, one a day. Flag one action item each and every day that is going to underscore the area that you're looking to improve upon and that will help you with that 1%. Let me give you an example. We'll go back to time management. Simply because I'm beating the hell out of that one, by the way, for no other reason. But with time management, you want to get better at it. So one day you might just say, you know what, my action item for today is going to be, I'm going to Google time management tips. I'm going to find an idea that resonates with me. And most importantly, I'm going to do Castain's third step, which is take action and get out there and try this idea. That's how you're going to get better at things. And almost look at it like an inventor in their laboratory. They're going to try it. They're going to document it. They're going to tweak it. They're going to try it again. So that's what you could do. Maybe the next day, what you're going to do is, you know of a coworker who's really good at managing their day. Maybe it's your boss. Maybe it's the owner of the business. How does this person get so much done and still have, you know, it's a good family guy here. This, not the show. This person is really into their family and they make it all happen. Maybe sit down and pick their brain and find out what is it that you're doing to manage your day? What can I learn here? And find that 1% thing. Again, folks, with the 1% mindset, we're not looking for the big answer. We're looking for 1%. We're looking for a little piece here so that we can do that. And then the next day we could say, well, what's 1% better than that? How can we find another 1% opportunity? And if you do that, that's certainly going to help you get the year back on track. And certainly, if you look at the three things that I told you that are part of the accelerated performance framework, your mindset, the information that you're embracing, making sure that you're embracing the right information, the information that's going to help you in the areas that you need to get better. Because if you look at all the information that you're consuming, not all of it is helping you in those areas. And I'm not being an ass here and say, well, you shouldn't, like me, you know, like you, Castain, you know, sometimes you're reading things on playing the guitar. That's not helping you in your career. I'm not talking about that kind of stuff. Of course, you should be reading things that make you feel good and have nothing to do with business and things that bring you joy and everything. But I'm talking about when you're reading things and you're listening to things and watching things and consuming things that you feel are instructional and educational. You know, make sure that it's serving the areas that you want to improve upon, because you only have so much bandwidth. You have so much time. Why not keep that hyper-focused on the things that are actually going to serve you? And then the final step we said is making sure that you take action, because to me, that is so important. One of the things that I always do at the end of my webinars, if you've ever taken them, I always tell people, hey, flag one thing that resonated with you today. Write it down. One thing, and now think of, well, what's the action item that I'm going to take now as a result of this? I mean, think back with this podcast today. If there was one thing, again, we're going kind of 1% here with the podcast. You find that one thing that resonated with you today, then what you do is you think about, okay, what's one action step that I'm going to take? Maybe what I'm going to do is start doing this one a day thing Castain talked about. Maybe I'm going to start, as I go along, looking at whatever step I'm in the sales process in that moment, asking myself, what is a 1% improvement here? What's something that I can do to make myself 1% better? And dedicate yourself to that every single day. But you flag that, but then you go a step further. You grab your smartphone and you schedule this activity, because if you just leave it out there to chance, it's like before when we said, when we just write something down or we commit it to memory. I mean, are you really going to do it? So you want to set an alert here so that you start working those action muscles. Now, here's the beautiful thing about these simple things we talked about today. These are things that build on each other, like compounding interest, each and every day. If you dedicate yourself to this, and every day would be awesome, But I also know that life gets in the way of things like it does for me. What if you did this several times a week? It's going to be several times a week more than what you're doing right now, I bet you. And I guarantee you, you're going to get things back on track and get things to that point where you're having the year that you truly deserve. And that's basically it, folks. One last thing. If you found value in this and I can help you in any way, I'd like you to stop by, check out the one-on-one sales coaching program that we have. And just, you know what? Actually, I feel a need to go back for a second. Here I am interrupting my own infomercial right there to tell you something. When we were talking about mindset before, do you know what one of the biggest things I see getting in the way of sales reps getting to the next level? It's just losing the ego enough to ask someone for help. Seriously, if you see someone getting a better result than you, ask him, how did you do that? And helping them deconstruct it. Asking for help, asking your boss for help. You know, if you're a person, you have a few bucks in your pocket and you're able to afford to hire a coach like me, do it. Nobody's saying you suck when you do it. And just to let you know, I've been at it a long time. I mentioned to you before, 36 years. I have, at any given time, I usually have between one and two different types of coaches for areas that I flagged that I need to get better. And the reason why I do it, not just to practice what I preach, because I know something about me that a lot of people aren't willing to admit, that I need the accountability and the kick in the ass. Fairly good at being self-disciplined with the things I need to do, but when I know that on Monday I have to face my coach and the first thing she's going to say to me is, hey Paul, how's it going with these action items? The worst conversation that I can have is one where I got a whole lot of nothing and I get called out for giving a bullshit excuse. So I don't want to have those conversations. I want to do the work. I've invested a lot of money. I've got skin in the game and it's a whole different level. So getting back to the infomercial, if I can help you at all in that area with some one-on-one coaching, why don't you at least check out the coaching program? Visit yoursalesplaybook.com/sales20. yoursalesplaybook.com/sales20. And one of the things that I offer on that page, once you read it, you check out the fees, because my fees aren't for everyone. My approach isn't for everyone. If you feel like this could be a match, I offer a free discovery call where we could sit down, just kind of do a little bit of a strategy session. It's about a 30-minute call. There's no sales pitch. We're going to look at the things that you want to cover and see if there's a match. And I promise you, I'm going to send you away with some tidbits too, because I want to make it well worth your time. With that, I'm Paul Castain from yoursalesplaybook.com. I am wishing you an incredible week ahead. Go get them.